I want to welcome those of you who are in our refuge worship service. You're joining us in our early morning Bible study on Sunday at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And let me just say a word of appreciation to all of our media team. Those of you who are watching this via video are doing so because of volunteers who work very hard every Sunday to not only broadcast our auditorium services via radio and television, but to those of you who are in our joint services in our multipurpose facility, you are watching this because of men and women who give up every Sunday to serve you, and I'm very grateful. We had a banquet where we expressed our appreciation to them this past week, and I don't think we should ever take for granted what we do in terms of media. For example, I heard from one of our church members whose mother took a fall, and they moved her from Washington to Enid. And the past several months, every Sunday morning, they would bring her into the living room, and they would get all situated, even dressed. She couldn't get out of the house, and they would watch our worship service. Cynthia Odell was telling me about this. It was her mom. And she teared up a little bit and said that she cannot thank the volunteers and Emmanuel enough for the ability to join her church on Sunday with her mother in worship for the last several months. So thank you for all of you who are working behind the cameras, up in the video booth, with the radio. David Stone, we're launching a new radio station in New Orleans in a couple of months that will reach five states. We're also on the radio in Arizona and Phoenix for this year. And so I appreciate Cameron. I appreciate you and what you do on our podcast. And so just a big word of thanks. Church is not all about teaching. It's about relationships as well. But our media team is enabling us to build relationships even at home when we can't be in the worship service. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews Chapter 2. We're going to continue in our series from this wonderful letter to the early Christians who were all Jews, that is, they were Hebrews. And the author of this letter was encouraging them to continue strong in their commitment to Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to take a look at four verses in Hebrews chapter 2 that I think will be an incredible encouragement to you in your walk with Christ. To set the background, let me read the first four verses of chapter 1 and remind you of what we've said in the weeks past. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom also God made the world. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. And Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Beginning with verse 5, going through verse 14 of chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews shows us how superior Jesus is to the angels. Now we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 2. For this reason, we must pay close attention to what we have heard. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, It was confirmed to us by those who heard, God testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Now let me show you what these four verses are saying in terms of your walk with the Lord and the encouragement that you should draw from them. First of all, the words that Jesus spoke when he walked this earth deserve your closest attention. It's found there in verse 1. For this reason, we ought to pay very close attention to what we have heard. What reason? Well, the reason articulated in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus is far superior to any angel. He is the exact representation of God's nature. He is Emmanuel, God with us. For this reason, you ought to pay close attention to what he says. Now, I know some of you enjoy watching Oprah, and I know Dr. Phil, you know, is way up there in the rankings, and I understand that you enjoy listening to entertaining people and the stories that they tell, and you love to read narratives of great men and women of old and of the present. Why in the world do you ever find your attention drifting when Jesus speaks? For this reason, the writer of Hebrews says, you ought to pay far closer attention to Jesus than you do Oprah. For this reason, you should concentrate on the Word of God. For who He, Jesus, is, you should pay close attention to what He, Jesus, says. It reminds me of the time I've shared with some of you this story. It was years ago. One of the advantages of being somewhere for a long period of time is that you get to know people quite well. One of the disadvantages of being your pastor for 20 years is that maybe you've heard some of my illustrations before, but this is a good one. This illustrates why you ought to listen closely to Jesus. For 5 years, I served as chaplain for the Tulsa Police Department. And I didn't get paid anything. I was given a radio, and every time there was an unexpected death, I would go and make notification of next of kin for the person who'd been murdered or died in an accident. But my badge did get me out of a few speeding tickets. But I'll never forget, I was with an officer for the TBD, a man that I had won to faith in Christ. His name is Kevin Johnson. He is now a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kevin and I were going out to eat lunch. I was in a suit and a tie and had my badge inside my pocket, and Kevin was an undercover detective at the time, and he was in a suit and tie but didn't have any visible badge showing. And we went to the 15th Street Grill in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we pulled up out in front of the grill. It was about 11:15, and there were all kinds of parking spaces on the street. And we get out of the car, and there was a gentleman in a suit who came up to us and said to me, I was driving, "Sir, you're going to have to move your car. You cannot park there." I looked around, didn't know who he was. Looked at Kevin, and Kevin just raised his eyebrows. And I said, "Well, sir, we're about to go in here and eat, and this is street parking for the 15th Street Grill. And, you know, so we'll be out in just about an hour." He said, "No, you're going to need to move your car right now." Well, I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out my chaplain's badge. I said, "Sir, I am Wade Burleson, chaplain for the Tulsa Police Department. This is Officer Kevin Johnson with a TBD, undercover detective, and we're going to go eat in this restaurant, and we can park right here in this street, right where we are, and we'll be out in about an hour." He pulled out his badge. He said, "I am Steve Smith with the United States Secret Service of the Treasury Department. My badge is bigger than your badge. You're going to have to move your car." We moved our car. Why? The word spoken by Steve was of higher authority. This is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Because of the authority of Jesus, for this reason, you should pay careful attention to what he says. It's interesting how God has spoken to us through Christ. Notice the progression. In verse 1, the Bible says God has spoken to us in his Son. Then in verse 3 of this chapter, the gospel was at first spoken to us through the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 4, what Jesus said was confirmed to us through the apostles by signs and wonders. Now, what is a sign? Well, it's really a miracle. I mean, one of the miracles, one of my favorite miracles, happened on the Mount of Transfiguration when a few of the apostles were with Jesus. And you remember Moses and Elijah appeared on the mountain with Jesus? And, you know, Peter, I love Peter. Peter was always talking first before he thought through what he was going to say. And Peter says to Jesus, "Jesus, this is incredible. Here we have Moses, the lawgiver for Israel. Here we have Elijah, the prophet of Israel, and we have you, Jesus. Good night. We will make tents for you and Moses and Elijah, and we'll just enjoy a great time of fellowship around dinner. We'll spend the night, and we'll talk with the three of you." And you remember what happened? It was a sign. It was a miracle. The Bible says, a cloud descended from heaven, and the disciples became very afraid, and they fell on their faces, and as they fell down, they heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." In the original language, it was "Hakuate aton." Hear him. And the Bible says the apostles lifted their heads, and Moses and Elijah were gone. It was almost as if the Father was saying, "Look, Moses was a great man. Elijah was a great prophet. But they don't hold a candle to my Son. Hear him." Listen, that's why when you go to church, you ought to pay close attention to the word that is being spoken from the book. That is why pastors have an awesome responsibility and a great accountability before the Lord. I am not here to entertain you. I am not here to be a stand-up comedian. I am here to point you to the Word of God. Hear him. Now, let me show you a second thing. The reason you ought to listen to what Jesus says in the Word, the reason the gospel message that he declared is so important and worthy of your attention, and why you ought to fight through any distraction when the Word of God is spoken, the reason is given to us in our text. Drifting from the old covenant law brought judgment from God. Now let me show you this. Pay close attention because this is very powerful. In verse 2, the writer of Hebrews tells us why we ought to pay close attention to the message of Jesus. "For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, how much more important is the word of Christ?" This is the comparison that is being made in verse 2. Now look at the first part of verse 2. If the word, you see the word there? In the NIV, it's the word message. In the King James Version, it is the word. Technically, that is the law, what we would call the old covenant law. You find the law in the Old Testament. You find it in the books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The author of the law in the Jewish mindset was Moses. It's called the Mosaic Law. This is the word given through the angels. By the way, did you know this? Did you know that the Bible says that the law was delivered through the angels? For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 2, the Bible says, when God gave the law to Israel on Mount Sinai, he gave it in the midst of 10,000 angels. Stephen, when he preached his great message to his Jewish brothers about the importance of listening to Jesus, said to them in Acts 7 and verse 53, you, the Hebrews, received the law delivered by angels. Paul said the same thing. The law was put in place through the angels. Galatians 3, 19. The Hebrews had an understanding of this concept. When God gave to Israel, the Hebrews, the Jews, his law, he gave it to them through the angels. Now, do you see where this is going? Chapter 1 has compared Jesus to the angels. And the writer of Hebrews says he is far superior to them. How much more should you listen to what he says? Look at the second thing about the law, the word given through the angels. Any transgression of the law brought a just penalty. This is found there in verse 2. For if the word or the message or the law spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. I love the age in which we are living. The other day, I was on Facebook, and I have a friend that I'm not even really sure who she is, but she is an apologist, a Christian minister of the gospel, and she had posted on her Facebook about a debate that was taking place at Notre Dame between an atheist and one of the leading Christian apologists. And she said, you can watch it live online. I saw that on Facebook. Immediately went to the debate and sat in my living room Thursday night and watched a live debate from Notre Dame between the leading atheist. He's called one of the four horsemen of atheists today. That's his title. And a Christian apologist who was brilliant. I have to say this to you. It's really the first debate I've ever seen between an atheist and a Christian. First one I've ever watched, not had any occasion to watch them. And the atheist was smart, smooth, suave, easy to listen to. And he made a statement. He said, you know, we would be a lot better off if the Christian religion could take scissors and cut out Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And then he said, most people don't know what Deuteronomy and Leviticus say, but if I were to tell you, you would be shocked and horrified. Stoning a rebellious son, putting to death the homosexual, stoning the adulteress. The atheist took about 5 minutes to mock the Christian Bible. You know what? Anybody who has even a little bit of doubt regarding Christianity would listen to this young, suave, debonair atheist and think, wow, he makes sense. Good night. Why in the world do we need Leviticus and Deuteronomy? But I hope you have at least a little bit of an understanding of the Word of God and the law of God, and you understand why Leviticus and Deuteronomy are in our Bible. Basically, in those two books, you have from God the just penalty outlined for any disobedience or transgression of His law. What is it? It's death. You have it outlined. It's the word of God to Israel, to the Hebrews. The law was delivered to the angels. And God told the Hebrews, if you choose to violate the law, you will die. There is a just penalty to your capital crime. All right. Now, you may not like it. You may wish it were not in your Bible. But it's there. But here's the good news. Jesus, the Anointed One, is the fulfillment of the law. This is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. The same God who gave the law to the Hebrews, and every transgression of that old covenant law had a just penalty attached to it. You can read it in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. This same God came to earth, far superior to any angel. And He gave us a new message. I am the fulfillment of the law. I have come to fulfill every jot and tittle of what my Father revealed to you. All of the just penalties due disobedience to His law, I will pay. All the requirements of full obedience to His law, I will provide. All the sacrifices that are attached to the law are simply a picture of me. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now watch. Those who listened to Jesus, the apostles themselves, they knew this. So they began to preach the good news, the gospel message. For example, in Philippians 3 and verse 9, you read the gospel message. Listen to what Paul says. We have now obtained a righteousness apart from the law. A righteousness that comes from God and is found by faith in Jesus Christ. So that the good news is simply this. Contrary to the Hebrews of old, who had to do everything according to the law, and if they violated it, they received a just penalty. Contrary to those Hebrews of old, now you and I have heard the good news. We are given righteousness, not by our obedience to any law. We are given righteousness, the righteousness that comes from God, through our faith in Jesus, the Anointed One, who did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Now I close with this powerful message. We shall not escape if we neglect so great a deliverance through Christ. This is the message of verse 3. Let me read it again. In fact, let me just go to verse 1. For this reason, because Jesus is superior to the angels, you should pay close attention to the good news, lest you drift away from it. For if the word, the law of old, delivered through the angels, had attached to it a just penalty for every transgression, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that is found in Jesus. Folks, this is the message. You think Christianity is like any other religion, that you can just come and you'll pay attention every now and then to what is said, but you get bored out of your gourd when you sit and you listen to the word taught. You think that you come to church and it's just part of the routine that you do, and you come to be seen or to see others. Wake up. Wake up. You will never escape the judgment of God if you drift from the good news that is found in Jesus Christ. With every fiber of my being, I wish I could draw from you every thought that you must do something to earn the favor and pleasure of God. I wish I could draw from you this thought that you have to perform in order to obtain the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, I wish I could draw every ounce of it out of you. Why? This is what was happening to the Hebrews. They kept wanting to go back to the law and to their obedience and to earning their righteousness by what they did. And the writer of Hebrews came along in a time when the high priest was saying to these early Hebrews, renounce your faith in Christ or you will be banned from the temple, barred from the sacrifices. You can't come to church unless you renounce your faith in Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, don't, don't, don't. You have heard from he who is higher than the angels. Don't drift from his good news message. This is why I would say to you, to whatever extent that you think God loves you based upon your obedience to him, you are drifting from the good news. The love of God is based upon your trust in his Son. Wow. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great deliverance? Your faith in Christ is not optional. It's the only way. And I think you see that the teaching of Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 gives you incredible encouragement to cling to Christ and nothing else. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.